Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, April the 22nd of 2020. And I'm your host for tonight, the Miracle Man. And I have to say, I'm so glad that you made the choice to tune in tonight, wherever you are, however you're tuning in, whatever it is that you're on. And that my hope is that you just come ready to receive from the Lord tonight. And I know that you come expecting, you'll receive something from the Lord, as there are things that God wants you to have. There really are. And it's going to be great. Tonight, it's going to be a great show, as is always the case.
Yes.
Yes, it is. And it's just, I just know God is doing great things. I was listening to some earlier this morning, I was listening to some guy on my phone. It was Tracy Cook. He's this known is a known, I don't know what you would call him, but he's known to give timelines, and God shows him things. He's known to give timelines, and God showed him that January and April, January to April would be a time of repentance. That'd be the time of the shaking, that this would be going like wildfire. May to August would be a period of recovery. September to December, and then into 2021 would be restitution. And that means that it's going to come back, right?
No.
The virus, I mean.
I know.
You don't think that's what that kind of restitution means?
No.
It needs to not be, because I rebuked that thing. And my hope is that China pays an extreme price, because I did not realize how wicked China was. For years, I just thought they just wanted our jobs, some of our intellectual property. But now we're finding out there's a whole lot more to this. And I think you're going to see some things come out of this that could. This guy actually said that God is going, China, it will not be a good couple of years for China at all. That's basically what it sounded like, is they're going to get spanked.
Yeah.
By.
I don't know.
I'm assuming possibly the United States. I would hope so. You were going to say certainly United States, but who else? Is that what you meant by that? I pray that so. You say, what is it with you and China? The problem isn't China. It's communism. Communism is terrible. Socialism, that leads to communism. And that's not of God. I'm going to leave that alone now. Now, but what we got to do is we got to pray. We're going to pray here in a couple of minutes, as we've been doing lately on the show. And another thing I want to address, fear. Fear is doing more damage than what this virus has done or could ever do. I will say it again. Fear will do more damage than what the virus has done or will do. And the devil wants us to live in fear. God doesn't. The media will tell you all this stuff. They'll even claim, oh, facts, not fear. Facts, not fear. Oh, hey, yeah, we got the facts. No fear. Oh, but then they give you that stuff. And by the way, they say, oh, by the way, until a vaccine is developed in 12 to 18 months. So far, our president is choosing not to go the way of mandatory vaccines. I pray that he issues an executive order that goes as far as to bar states from going that route. Because I will not take that vaccine from China. I will not take it. Will you take it? I will not take it. Bill Gates is behind a lot of this. People who have been given a vaccine in another country died. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
And I listened to this sermon this morning that Dr. Rodney Brown talked about the mark of the beast, and had a guest on with them, and they were talking about it. I'm not gonna get all into it, but I will say, basically, it would be like a chip either planted in your arm or your forehead. And let me tell you, we are in the last of the last of the last of the last days. The day that our president decides mandatory vaccine, basically that means assume the brave position. I don't think he will. Some states might, maybe, but I don't think our president will. Pray they don't. God has showed. You see, God has showed this Tracy Cook within the next few weeks or so, and very soon, that God showed him that people were back in the restaurants, they were back in the stores and all that. And my hope is By the way, he made it seem like it didn't sound like they were social anything. By that, I mean they weren't 6 feet apart, 60 feet apart. They weren't. And so, got to continue to pray that God would keep his hand on us. And that's another reason why it's a good time right now to make sure that your family is going to heaven. Call them. Make sure. He could come tomorrow. Oh, he said, well, Miracle Man, you know pastors have said that for years. Yeah, but this is for real. And so, like I said, got to pray at high noon every day. Curse this virus. Bind Koran, which is the name of the demon behind this. And you got to bind stupid. Stupid is the spirit that has caused these states and countries to issue these orders that have even been against the church. I never thought we'd see this in America, the church shut down by the government. I figured in the tribulation, but not before it. Well, so like I said, we're going to pray. Then I'm going to sing a couple songs, and then I got great stuff to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to you about the Shunammite. I'm going to read you that chapter, but I'm going to talk about that Shunammite and what exactly happened there in Shunem with Elisha and the man of, I mean, with the Elisha, who was the man of God, and that woman and her husband and their son. What all happened there? So it's going to be great. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. So great to be a Christian, Lord God. Love you and worship you. Lord God, I take authority right now over this virus. I curse this virus and the spirits that come with it. I say that it dies and falls to the ground right now. It won't be hurting or killing any more people. This thing will die in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I curse and I bind Koran. I bind you. Koran, you will die now.
Yeah.
You can take that virus with you. Stupid, you're bound. The power of stupid is broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you that our governors make good, wise decisions, as does our president, as do our mayors and township officials and all these others. And I thank you right now for our governors and our leaders that are over us. I thank you that they make decisions based on you, that they let the doctors run this govern. Let them do the medical. The governors run the state. Shouldn't be the doctor running the state, the doctors running the country. And I thank you that justice would be served in all these cases of these states. And I just thank you that your hand is upon all of this. Your hand is upon all of this. your hand is upon this. And now, Lord, I say, I pray, Lord God, over the economy. I pray that it would come back strong and wonderful, and that it would be just a great thing. I pray, Lord God, that thank you for pent-up demand. I call our businesses full. I call them prosperous. I say that these businesses have clients, sales, diners, and I call them blessed. I thank you, Lord God, that this economy would come back and we'd see that V-shaped recovery. And now, Lord, I thank you right now for health providers. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that work in the hospital, that you just strengthen them, comfort them, and that you would just speak to them, that they would make decisions based on you, Lord God, and that they would lead patients to you, Jesus. Those that know you, may they lead patients to you. Those that may not know you. Because prayer can fix everything. And Lord, I thank you for our pastors, right? For pastors right now. I thank you that you're strengthening them. I thank you, pray that in the name of Jesus, our churches, our spirit-filled churches are not going to shut down. They're going to stay and they're going to open and they're going to be full. Right? Full. And I just thank you for your power, Lord God, working in these people, working in the lives of these people and these pastors. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now, I want to say, when you're out and about, make sure to go to that local ice cream place or whatever. Go get some delicious ice cream.
Yes.
Oh, that's right, because you didn't break the freezer. while you're out, make sure to go there. And remember, dollar any size Coke at your local McDonald's. Where I'm loving it. What? What did you say?
Don't skip it.
Now, listeners, I want to encourage you, please tell those you know how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in. You want to talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about? The number to call in is 215-383-3810. Again, that's 215-383-3810. Prompt. And when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. And I'll be notified that we have a caller. And then I will let you on. Praise God. Now, I want to sing you a couple songs. With heaven's fine creations, his power and adoration, treasures woven by his love, his gift of kindness overwhelming, hope for me unending, never giving up on me. With heaven's divine creations, his pride and adoration, treasures woven by his love, His careful hand they hold us safe within His promise. Kindness of me. I could sing about what You've done, and I remember how far You've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. Father's heart beats for me, a never-ending story. Well, that's always chasing me. His kindness overwhelming, a hope for me unending. He's never giving up on me. And I could sing all of what You've done, and I remember how far You carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end, until the end, until the end. You are faithful, You are faithful, Lord. There wasn't a day that You weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that You let me fall. In all of my life, Your love has been true. And with all of my life, I will worship You. There wasn't a day that You weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that You let me fall. In all of my life, Your love has been true. And with all of my life, I will worship You. We will worship You. Yes, Lord, we will worship You. Surely Your goodness and mercy follow me, follow me. Surely Your goodness and mercy follow me, follow me. Yes, there won't be a day that You're not by my side. There won't be a day that You let me fall. In all of my life, Your love has been true. And with all of my life, I will worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Into Your hands I commit again with all I am. For You, Lord, You hold my world in the palm of Your hand, and I am Yours forever. Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. I walk with You wherever You go, through the tears and joys with You, Lord. And I will live In all of your ways, in your promises, forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. I will worship. I will worship you. 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 Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing, with all I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's with all I am that I come, that we get to come to you. It's with all we are. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you that you lead us and guide us, that you are always there for us. When we want you, when we need you, you're always there. You're always fighting for us. You're always making a way for us where it seems like there is no way, Lord. And just feel free to run full course tonight in this program. And I pray that these listeners would enter in tonight to what you have for them. And Lord, I confess over tonight over the show that sponsors and partners come in to the program, that finances come in. I thank you that increases in listenership come to this program. I thank you that people are healed and set free and delivered as a result of this program tonight. And most of all, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom of God, a big harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Open up your Bible, please, if you would, to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. I believe everything my Bible says, no matter what the devil says, people say, or my circumstances say.
Or Dad.
Oh. Praise God. 2 Kings 4. I'm going to begin with verse 1. And I want to encourage you to be a part. Don't just sit there and be a little puppet. Don't just sit there singing that I'm a little puppet. I found my spot. Now I'm just give you a second to find yours. Praise God. Verse 1. Now the wife of a man, from the company of the prophet cried out to Elisha, Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But she replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on whatever is left. Verse 8. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who offered him to stay for a meal. So, whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And she said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof. Why they'd put it on the roof, I don't know. hashtag violation. Anyways, let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed in there and a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day, when Elisha came, he went up to his room and he lay down there. He said to his servant, Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her. She stood behind him. Elisha said to him, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son. Her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her. She stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected, "Don't mislead your servant. O man of God. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, which just as Elijah had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. Carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him in to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door, called her husband, and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God quickly and return. I'm turning the page. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon, nor is it the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you to. So she went out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her, God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything's all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, for the Lord has hidden it from me, and he has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes. Elijah said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead, laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy is not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed, lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, doing CPR. Mm-hmm. The CPR wasn't in the Bible. I just said, like, it's that kind of stuff. As he stretched himself out under him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away, walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed, stretched out under him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said,
turn the page.
He said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, put on the large pot and cook some stew for these men. One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine. He gathered some of its gourds and filled the fold with cloak. Of his cloak. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out of to the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, oh, man of God, there's death in the pot. And they couldn't eat it. Elisha said, get some flour. He put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people to eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man came from Baal Shema, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of bread and loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Serve it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men? The servant asked, but Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and will have some left over. Then he sent it before them. They ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. All right. So, you see here, the Shunammite woman, she and her husband are an older couple, and they lived, where they lived, but they knew this man, the man of God, Elisha, and he had came over for a meal. Then he kept coming, and then got to where this woman says to her husband, she says, this man often comes here for a meal. Why don't we just go ahead and make him a room on the roof in the no-build zone? Of course, back then there wasn't those building code things that say you can't build, on the. They built a room for Elijah on the roof. Then, one day, he's there, and he asks him, Now, folks, what can I do for you? And the husband says, as my wife say, the husband says, you know, I want a child. My wife's barren. She said, and then he tells her, next year, about this time, you're going to be holding in your hands a baby. She's all like, oh, really? You mean to tell me that I'm going to have a baby? Yeah, you're going to have a baby. What do you know? Next year, about that time, you had a baby. Just like the prophet had said. Yeah, what? And so there's this idea of the Shunammite rule. She built that room on the roof for the prophet so he could have a place to stay. And there weren't cars back then. You had to have a donkey. And there wasn't the restaurants to go to eat at, not even to get takeout and delivery. They didn't have any hotels of any kind. Yep. There was no Holiday Inn. That thing didn't exist yet. You know, because they I'm trying to think what the Holiday Inn commercial says, but they and you couldn't use the nor could you use the excuse of, oh, by the way, I did stay at the Holiday Inn Express last night. Remember those commercials, Dad? He couldn't go into the Shunammite's house and say, I did stay at the last night. Because they didn't have it. Because they didn't have it. So they build him this room. And he goes in there. So they build him this room, in which case he is so delighted that he has it. They give him a chair, a bed, a table, a lamp. And then he says, you did this for me. What can I do for you? And then he says what he wants. The Shunammite couple, they say what they want. And she's all sitting there like, really? You mean to tell me that I'm going to have a baby? Like, it was like she was not expecting him to say that. She's figured, I'm just doing something very nice for this man of God, and I don't have to have anything in return. Mm-hmm. She's sitting there like, oh, I'm doing this because I love the man of God, and I love the Lord, and I love what the Lord has done for me. And it turns out she ends up getting blessed. But that's not the end of the story. She has that baby. He grows. Several years later, doesn't say how old he was. He goes out to help his dad with the reapers. He said, my head. Doesn't say what the weather's like outside. By any means, for all we know, he had some kind of heat thing, and one of the guys said, his dad takes him into his mom, and he lays on his mother's lap until noon, and eyes. And there's no AC either. Probably try giving him some water. And then he goes inside. She takes him up to his room. And goes, tells one of the messengers, get me a donkey. She goes, finds Elijah. Elisha goes. I mean, and he's all like, what's going on? Are you all right? Your husband all right? Is your son all right? And she's like, yeah. But then his armor bearer, who goes with him, his security, is trying to push her back. But then Elijah's like, nope. She needs help. She needs help. So they talk to him. They talk to her, and they go to the house, and then the baby that, and then they find the baby on the bed, dead. The boy is sitting there, dead, on the bed. And Elijah goes into that bedroom. Sits down on that bed, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hardcore CPR, plus sitting there doing what he's doing, and God heals him. God heals that child. He sneezes 7 times, and then he wakes up, and he's warmer, like normal, not like caught a fever. It was at the normal temperature. So she, this Shunammite woman, she had sown a seed, built the room for the man of God. Obviously required money to do. And she built it for that man. And he, as a result, he has that room to stay in. He asks what she wants. She basically tells them what it is that they want. We want a child, we're barren. And then he said, next year about this time, you're going to have a baby. And she's all shocked. Because imagine she's all sitting there thinking that he's going to say, maybe you could adopt or something like that. But they didn't really do that back then. But he's like, what? Like she was thinking, I want to have a baby, but I don't think in my old age I can. But she asked. She had faith in God. You see that this one thing that what I love about this Shunammite woman, she had a heart to help, and she also had faith. She could have just said, he's dead. I mean, she could have just said, I'm old, not going to have kids. But I built this room because I wanted to be toward the man of God. But because of what she did for the man of God, she got her reward. She had a child. And then she could have, when her baby, when her son had been outside with his dad and then had that episode and then died on his mother's lap, she could have just said, "He's dead," and then put on sackcloth and had her little funeral with her husband. She said, "I'm going to go to the man of God about this, because I know something can be done." She gets the man of God. Man of God comes back with her. Gehazi comes with them. And then Elijah lays his hand on that kid, prays the prayer, the boy sneezes, and he's healed of that. You see, it really pays to obey God. So, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to give? What are you willing to... Where's Snoopy? What are you willing to sow? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because that Shunammite, she obeyed God by building that room. But in the Bible, doesn't say that he forced her to do it. She decided to build it out of the kindness of her heart because she loved God. She loved the man of God. And all because of that, she received. She had that baby. So what is that thing you're believing God for to do? What is that thing you're believing God for? Is it a prodigal to come home? Is it for you to have a child? Is it for, for you to have increase? What is that thing that you're willing to sow toward, or willing to do something toward? What is that thing that you're willing, that thing that you believe in God for? Happen. And as you sow that seed, whatever you feel like you're supposed to do, as you sacrifice, as you give that offering, build that building, whatever it is that God tells you to do, so you can have what you believe in God for, and you'll believe and you'll receive what it is that you're believing Him for. Could be that healing for your son, or your own healing. What is that thing? By the way, it doesn't have to be material either. Can be a miracle that you're asking Him to do. That woman wasn't supposed to have no baby. She was old. I'm assuming she was like 60, 70. Something like that. 60-year-olds don't have kids at the age... Ladies don't have kids at the age of 60. What's the oldest you heard of someone giving birth, Mom? But that's like the very end. So maybe there's been a 60, but I'm sure no one at 70 has. For who? Sarah is the only one. She was 90. But then after that, after all that, years later, God put a time limit on it, and it was made it so 120 would be the oldest we would live to be. Which to me means that there was also a limit placed so that no one could be older than Abraham and Sarah and still have kids. Is that the way you see it?
So that
which means that basically it's safe to say you're not having a child if you're 70. I'm assuming she was way up there, like beyond 55. But she has that baby. Why? Because she obeyed. She saw that need. He needs a place to stay. She builds him that room. And she he asks her what she wants. And then not only does she have a baby, she has a good son. And then, because she knew the man of God, she goes and talks to the man of God. Elijah comes to the house, and the baby gets healed. He got healed of this illness. I think it was a heat thing, don't you? I'm thinking it was a heat thing, aren't you, Mom? Yep. And he was out there. Maybe he was wearing a sweater, shouldn't have been. Maybe he was wearing his boots. One day my brother did that. You told him. One time you told him, why are you wearing boots, right? It's 80 degrees out. And he didn't know why he was doing it. I forget why he was doing it, but he was doing it. Remember? That might not, but you do, Mom, don't you? He was wearing boots. And it was 80 degrees out. Maybe he was wearing boots and a sweater. But then God healed that boy after he sneezed 7 times. Just like how that leper went and washed in the water 7 times. 7 times. Oh, and by the way, well, you know, he thought the water was frozen. What? Well, you know, the water was like Ludington. In a month that's not July or August. Because normally we'll go to this place in Michigan called Ludington Beach. It's up there on Lake Michigan. But of note is that the water is usually very cold. It's not as bad though if you go on a nice hot day. And on the nice hot day, you, like I said, but usually you'll get used to that water. But what if it was in the winter and the water was like that, and it was like, I don't know, 40 degrees out, and he still has to go wash in that river? He'd be sitting there, Of course, nowadays we got our nice warm houses. They didn't have all that. and this Rodney Brown was talking about the thousand-year rain. I hope that means with the thousand-year rain that we won't have snow all the time here in the winter. Like there will be? That's it. Also, I wanted to say happy birthday to Mary Murphy, one of our listeners here on the show. I just got that notification. Happy birthday. Thank you so much for what you do, the Ministry of Health. You're an awesome lady. But like I was saying, this woman from Shunem, she was very well off. She had a lot of money. And by the way, just because you're not well-to-do doesn't mean you shouldn't sow a seed. Because that family was well-to-do. And but like I said, he and she, they suffered a reward. Then Elijah goes to somewhere else. Are we getting on 59 or something else? What? 75? Oh. You mean maybe or maybe not? All right. But anyhow, sorry again, listeners. I have to say sorry about the noise. We're just out on the road. No, I'm not going to sing on the road again on the show. I am not. anyhow, so Elijah, then he goes to somewhere, and there's all these men there, and they want some stew, but something gets put in the stew, and the men taste it, and they're like, there's dust in the pot. Then Elisha looks. And he puts some barley and some grain in there and some things in there. And then God told Elisha to do that. And then he said, these men will have enough to eat, and will have some left over. They had enough to eat, and they had some left over. After that, they had enough to eat, and had some left over. It's kind of like how sometimes pastor or someone else will just repeat something over and over and over. Isn't it kind of funny how I'll do that? It's like, what do you do after that? Well, you do it at the same thing. What do you do after that? What do you do next Sunday? Wait, you know, huh? And so they had enough to eat, and they had some left over. Just like Jesus with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5 loaves for the 5,000, 7 loaves for the 4,000. They all had enough to eat and were satisfied. God wants to be your provider. He does. My God shall supply all your my needs according to the stock market. Oh, according to the price of oil. Oh, that's not there either. According to his, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. According to his. Not mine. Not the stock market. Not the price of commodities that are traded on the stock market. And he wants to provide. Oh, well, this woman had all that provision and was able to have that baby because she obeyed the Lord and built that room for the man of God, Elisha. So the question becomes, what are you willing to do for Jesus? And what is that thing that you're believing for? What is it? So, I wanted to encourage you in this tonight. Because God is our provider. And he will see you through. He will. He will. Beyond what you can ask or think. And amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen, Rivers.
Now, Lord Jesus, I pray, I thank you right now for these listeners. I thank you that you prosper them, that they prosper and be and live in health, even as their soul prospers. I thank you, Lord God, that you provide for them this week and that they have great opportunities. Thank you for our economy opening back up. And Lord, I thank you for the Shunammite, that Shunammite. May they exercise that Shunammite rule. Sow that seed. Maybe they sow a Shunammite offering in the offering at their church. And they, and between them and God, they decide what that thing is they're believing for. And put it to use. So that they can have what they're believing you for, Jesus. And I give you all the praise and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name. And now, right now, I pray for everyone listening. I thank you that you're healing their bodies. If you're believing for healing in your body, put your hand on yourself right now. I take authority over over these bodies. These bodies line up to your word. I thank you that our pancreases are strong. Our eyes work well. Our ears work well. Our stomachs are normal. Our back and our legs and everything else down there are normal. I thank you that our lungs work, are normal. I thank you right now that our respiratory systems fight off every one of these respiratory viruses, including the corona virus, that they fight off all of these. Thank you, Lord God, that your healing power works on the inside of us, that you're working on the inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now for sports, tomorrow night is the NFL draft, and some of you may say, why are they even going to bother having the draft? Yes, I know. It is virtual this year. And some of you might think, do you think they're going to have a season? I think, yeah. Yes, I do. But then I think what's going to end up happening, I think you're going to see these stadiums right full this fall, don't you? I think you're going to see these stadiums full this fall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're talking about this plan A and plan B. I think you're going to see these stadiums full this fall. But that's not what I was going to talk about. What I was going to talk about is the Lions. They right now have pick 3, the 3rd overall pick. I think they could use a good running back or a good defensive lineman, because both of those are things that we need to work on. Also, we need to have a good backup quarterback, a good one, because not only is Stafford getting a little bit older, but he was out for a lot of last year. And God, no, excuse me. I mean, and they have to figure this out with this draft thing. I hope that they pick wise tomorrow. but like I'm saying, because they got to figure this out. They got to win. If they don't win enough games to make the playoffs this year. Last year, they basically thought it was going to be playoffs or bust. This year is that ultimatum year. It's the ultimatum year. I think if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think the organization of the Lions is going to totally be shaken. I didn't say disappear. They'll still be Detroit Lions, but I think it'll look a lot different, including maybe no Stafford, no Quinn, no Patricia. You don't know what you're talking about because you don't watch these games. I see what you're sitting there doing. You know you are. Just had to give her a hard time. Anyhow, listeners, that's what I was. By the way, who knows what the Patriots are going to be, because they don't have Brady no more, because he got traded to the Patriots. I mean, he got traded to the Buccaneers. And so it's hard to tell how they're going to be. But I think the NFL is going to look a lot different. And by that I mean, like, who could possibly win the Super Bowl? I think the Chiefs could do it again. Possibility. Rams, I don't know. I'm more sure whether or not we'll have a season than what I am sure about who's going to win the Super Bowl or even make the playoffs, because of all the trades that have been going on. It's going to make it really interesting. All right, folks, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, no evil shall befall us, because you have given your angels, Jesus, you've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no sickness, no disease, no coronavirus, no fire, no flood, no crash, no terrorist. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. And we're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
I sure love you.
I love you.
Amen. Go in God. Until next time, God first, God always.